This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Unabashedly Wisconsin and brought to you by Courier Newsroom, this is Up North News Radio. Welcome back. Good morning. I'm Pat Breitlove. Nice to be here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Tuesday morning, December 3rd. Coming up later this hour, we'll talk to our friend Hans Breitenmoser from up in Lincoln County, a now former member of the Lincoln County Board, but we'll talk a bit about the judge's ruling yesterday that threw out Act 10 after 13 years and restored collective bargaining rights to teachers and other public sector employees. We'll talk about that from a county board perspective, but also talk a bit about Donald Trump's choice for a new agriculture secretary, a choice that came way out of left field. Somebody that nobody was expecting to be named, and what that might mean for a potential farm bill and something that is so important not only to farmers but to anybody who eats would like to know what's Donald Trump's plans for the rural economy and for farmers in the country. We'll talk to Hans about that in just a little bit. Again, if you'd like to join the show along the way, the number here is 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC, or you could reach us on social media by commenting in the comment sections there on Facebook and on YouTube. Yesterday, for example, there were a lot of birthday greetings for one Brittany Merlot and aww, Chad Holmes and Kristen Lyerly and Aaron Zommers and all those folks. She wasn't here yesterday, so she gets none of that today. Instead, she gets Rob. Good morning from Tigerton. I meant that Rob said happy birthday yesterday. He doesn't say it today. Good morning from Tigerton. It's partly cloudy and 21. No snow yesterday in Tigerton. A different story in western Wisconsin, heading to his cousin's funeral, where he ran into snow from Chippewa Falls westward. Major traffic backups on 494 in the Twin Cities. Icy spots on Minnesota Highway 169. People don't slow down. And he's absolutely right. He said, after I gassed up after the funeral, my car wouldn't start, so my Minnesota cousins helped me get my car started, and I got it going, had no problems coming home. So, Rob, we're glad you're back home safely. And yes, Ms. Merlot, Rob and others say happy birthday. Hope it was a good birthday for you.
Oh, thank you so much. It sure was. And, you know, I loved the snowfall. So I got my gift from Mother Nature as well. Like that. Oh, my goodness. Did you see Ironwood, Michigan picked up 27 inches of snowfall over Thanksgiving weekend?
That's what I was getting at with Dan Hagen a moment ago here up in Rhinelander, and how the economy up there just loves to see that. And they're going to get another little dose, later today, tomorrow?
They sure are. So it's going to start up again this evening, and it's going to continue throughout the entire week, actually. It'll start to wind down by Friday morning. So they're looking at another half a foot to nearly a foot of additional snowfall. And, of course, into Hurley, I think they have 10 inches of snow packed on the ground. So a lot of those snowmobile trails are being groomed, although there are still spots that, of course, are wet and some rocks are still visible. So not the best conditions, but after this little push, I think that they will be good to go. So sledding season about to be underway. I love it. Also, that Buffalo game with the snow, the lake effect snow, that was beautiful. I loved seeing them slip and slide all around that. And that's our thing as we go through tomorrow, too. So Northeast Wisconsin, we are looking at a light little dusting of snowfall moving through this evening, probably about a half an inch to an inch total there. And of course, that lake effect snow is starting to hit the northern areas. Looking at about 1 to 2 inches today, another 1 to 2 inches tomorrow, and it starts to ramp up as we go into Thursday as well. So winds by tomorrow will be blustery, gusting up to 40 miles per hour. This is going to drag in scattered snow showers statewide. So we're all going to see this moving in overnight and through tomorrow. But temperatures today, mid-20s to low 30s, And then by tomorrow, a little bit warmer, but you slap those winds on top of it, it'll be feeling like the teens.
You really are our snow queen here, aren't you? Yes. So Ilsa Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist.
Ilsa Merlot.
I'll take it.
She wants to build a snowman. What can you say? Mm-hmm. Brittany, thank you again. Happy birthday. Hope you have a wonderful day.
Thanks. You too, guys.
Bye. It is Giving Tuesday, and if you're looking for some suggestions, well, we have a few for you. Head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, where you can find information on shows and stations, but also a special story on Giving Tuesday and the charities that you could help out. Some do their work all over Wisconsin. Some do their work very locally. Whatever the case, go on and take a look and see if you can help out on this Giving Tuesday as a way to really get into the spirit of the holiday season. The daily newsletter from Up North News is found by subscribing over at our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up top and you'll get a newsletter that today, for example, includes links to Wisconsin-made products that you could put on your Christmas list for yourself or send to others. And you can also follow us on social media. Search for Up North News WI. Don't forget the WI. And a couple of recent posts included, you may have seen that when the Miami Dolphins arrived for their game with the Packers last week for Thanksgiving night, they land at the airport in Appleton. And it was not just a 747, it was a monster of a 747. It was a double-decker. So look for that photo to see how the Miami Dolphins truly travel in style and brought a plane to Appleton that you don't see very often at all. In sports at 7:12, the Milwaukee Bucks resume play tonight, continuing the NBA Cup in-season tournament with a game in Detroit tonight. The Badger men's basketball team opens Big Ten play tonight at the Kohl Center versus Michigan. The game is at 8. You can catch the pregame starting at 7 on Civic Media stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. Or go to the Civic Media app and click on one of those stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, Richland Center, and you can hear the game that way over the Civic Media app. And the Packers, again, play this Thursday night, back-to-back Thursday night games, and you can catch the pregame starting at 5 o'clock Thursday on Civic Media stations in Racine, Kenosha, Richland Center, and Park Falls. The big story this Tuesday is the ruling by a judge in Dane County that overturns Act 10, the landmark law from the Scott Walker era, one that all but destroyed public sector unions, removed their bargaining rights, plunged their earnings, and harmed an immense number of families, but also created a new way for people across the country to see Wisconsin. To see Wisconsin as hostile to many working families, especially teachers, driving away teachers in droves and harming the state irreparably as a result. Now, folks from Scott Walker on down who criticize this decision like to say that Act 10 had saved all of this money for folks, that taxpayers had saved, you know, billions of dollars as a result of it. The other way to look at that, of course, is that Act 10 cost us billions of dollars in investments in education, in quality teachers, in Wisconsin graduates who want to stay in Wisconsin. From my family to all sorts of other families around the state, you had people leave after high school, see what the environment was like in other states, and basically stay there. And we're having as tough a time as ever keeping our best and brightest here in Wisconsin when they see what a legislature, what conservative justices, what too many voters seem to embrace in terms of, again, being hostile to the whole notion of supporting education. We're going to talk tomorrow in our homeroom segment with folks from the Hudson School District, where voters there rejected a referendum, and look at the potentially punishing choices that are awaiting folks in the Hudson School District. And that's being played out in several other districts where voters were asked to raise their own taxes. In most districts, voters said yes, but in many districts, they said no. And it wasn't that the school districts are being greedy. It's not that the teachers are being greedy. It's that the legislature is being stingy and not holding up its end of the deal, choosing instead to take the money that you all pay in state income taxes and in other taxes and apply that toward tax breaks for the very wealthy rather than take our tax money and create strong public schools and a strong economy as a result. Also in the legislature, I have to take issue with folks at one of my former employees, one of my former employers, rather. This was the way that they talked in a news story about the legislature and the $15 million that is still being withheld to help the Chippewa Valley deal with the abrupt closing of two hospitals. The language in the news story says, this past year, lawmakers focused on $15 million meant for emergency departments in the Chippewa Valley. State Republicans and Democrats didn't agree on the use of the funding, which left it stuck in gridlock. Technically, that's correct. It's not fully correct. It's not the full story because, again, the both sidesism gets in the way to say Republicans and Democrats didn't agree on the use of the funding and it was stuck in gridlock. Makes it sound like it's an equally politically balanced problem. When the more accurate thing to say would be that despite getting legislative approval and being signed into law by Governor Evers, Republican leaders in the legislature are withholding the $15 million designed to go to healthcare needs in the Chippewa Valley. That's not a political statement. That's what's actually happening. The legislature did pass it. The governor did sign it. Republican leadership is refusing to release it. That's how it's working there. But again, so long as there can be this narrative that money is tied up, or that teachers and teachers' unions are greedy, or that, you know, education isn't important, we're going to have these disagreements in Wisconsin, and we're going to have what some perceive as gridlock in the legislature, while the rest of us recognize, you know, obstruction when we see it. When we come back, a little bit more about Act 10 being struck down. Also, the passing of a former state Supreme Court justice and a former state assembly speaker. And a bit more about the pardon of Hunter Biden is coming up as well. That's all part of Up North News Radio on this Tuesday morning, December 3rd, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. And a discussion with Hans Breitenmoser is on the way in just about 15 minutes as well. We'll be back in just a bit.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Mickey Thomas of Starship is 75 years old today. I regret to inform you, Mr. Buck, that the war on Christmas has resumed once again. Alicia writes in from Northeast Wisconsin on YouTube that State Representative Ron Tussler is already trying to get people riled up about the supposed war on Christmas, and a check of his Twitter feed does indeed picture, has a picture of an extremely sparse-looking tree here, and it says, "My Capitol office Christmas tree is up. In my office, we aren't scared to call it what it is, a Christmas tree," he puts in all capital letters.
Hey, Ronnie, if you're listening, sorry, Assemblyman or State Senator?
Assemblyman, Tussler, yes.
Representative Ronnie, if you're listening right now, no one cares, honestly.
Truly.
It's so boring. It's your greatest hits, man. You got nothing to do. Really, no one cares.
You don't have to. Nobody was ever scared to call it a Christmas tree. Why are you scared of somebody else referring to what they put up as a holiday tree.
Yeah.
To be mindful that there's more than one holiday this month from more than one faith, and that you'd like to make everybody feel welcome under that particular umbrella of your holiday tree. You can call it a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
You can put up your own Christmas tree. But when you get your knickers in a twist because somebody else says holiday tree, it's not so much a statement on their values as it is on yours.
His Saint knickers in a twist.
I'm sorry, his Saint knickers. Very well. Nicely done.
You know, honestly, Rep Ronnie, you can put a Christmas tree. I don't celebrate religion, but we put a tree out, and I call it a Christmas tree because there's no such thing as a Hanukkah tree. So put out a menorah and then put out things that just recognize everyone's, you know, belief in what they celebrate the holidays for. And we know you love Christmas. It's fine. No one's hurting you.
But if we make it sound like there's a war, if we're victims, then we will rile up the troops and we will get votes. And it works a little too often, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But that's what we have to deal with here. In talking about Act 10, for folks who might have missed it last hour, a Dane County judge overturned it and said the main problem with Act 10 was something that some of us have always known all along, that Act 10 divided public employees into two groups, general and public safety. But the public safety definition was, shall we say, a little wobbly. The judge in the case said, nobody could provide this court an explanation that reasonably showed why municipal fire and police and state troopers are considered public safety employees, but Capitol Police, UW Police, and conservation wardens who have the same authority and do the same work are not public safety employees under the definition of this law. That's because what the law doesn't say is that the dividing line wasn't so much about public safety. It's about whether your union endorsed Scott Walker or Tom Barrett in the 2010 election. It was as simple as that. It took 13 years for the case to finally get to the point where a judge that was not playing right-wing politics with the law could look at this law and say, get this out of here. And that's where we are now. Wanted to note the passing of one of the former state Supreme Court justices who worked on the Act 10, upholding that law, which is not a surprise given that David Prosser was a former speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly before being named to the Wisconsin Supreme Court by then-Governor Tommy Thompson back in 1998. There's not a lot that I can really offer on David Prosser, and I don't think anybody really can, beyond what Bruce Murphy wrote in Urban Milwaukee back in April of 2015. The article is titled The Tragedy of David Prosser, and really makes out Prosser as somebody with a high degree of self-awareness, in that he's aware that rather than being a judge turned justice, he was a politician who was put in a justice's robe and put on the state Supreme Court. There were immense disagreements, especially during the time that Act 10 was passed and being challenged, to the point where he had a famous altercation with liberal justice Ann Walsh Bradley, to the point where he put his hands on her neck. Now, nobody's saying that he tried to choke her, but the fact that he got so angry, and that he had a pattern of getting angry, normally storming out of the room, but in this case, going up to a woman who sits there as an equal justice with him and putting his hands up on her neck spoke volumes. And I've looked all over, and if there was an apology, it's not readily found through a Google search here, but there were plenty of instances about Justice Prosser's career that are worth noting in this 2015 article by Bruce Murphy at Urban Milwaukee. And I'd say that enough is the legacy. And while, again, we would convey all due condolences and sympathy to the family and friends of the former justice, this program is about the record of the legislator turned justice. And so to learn more about him, I would recommend that article to you as well. All right, we have a fixation of media this week. It's a slow news week. We're done with Donald Trump naming cabinet picks, some of them coming way out of left field, like we'll talk about with Hans Breitenmoser in a minute about the Ag Department. But there was nothing else, apparently, for the media to cover yesterday other than the pardon offered by President Joe Biden of his son, Hunter Biden. Now, we talked about this a bit briefly yesterday about how wrong it is for somebody to focus on the Hunter Biden pardon without giving as much or more time to Donald Trump's many pardons, which were basically a who's who of American political crime in the 21st century. So let's just be honest about that. But I also want to give special recognition to people with whom I probably agree with 95% of the time. But for those Democrats yesterday that offered up criticisms as well, I see what's going on. Joe Biden is not a popular president right now. And everybody has looked for some way to put some distance between themselves and Joe Biden. But folks, the election is over. Joe Biden's done more from a legislative accomplishment standpoint than any president, any Democratic president in our generation. And it wasn't enough that he had to be tossed off the ticket, essentially, but that as well, we're looking for distance to be created by his decision to pardon his own son. I think we can all do a little bit better than that. Hans Breitenmoser is next. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Good. Nah, nah, honey, I'm good. I could have another, but I probably should not. I got somebody at home. It's been a long night here and a long night.
See, this is why Greg was asking a little bit ago. Andy Grammer, is he a pop singer? Is he a country singer? Whatever it is, he's got a birthday today. You can hear all the birthdays and other notes in today's history lesson every weekday morning at 6:50. Here on Up North News Radio on a Tuesday morning, where we welcome in, as we do pretty much every other Tuesday morning, our friend Hans Breitenmoser. He's a Lincoln County dairy farmer, former Lincoln County board member. He's active in the Wisconsin Farmers Union and does so much more, a longtime advocate for Fair Maps. And so we wanted to catch up on a couple of different matters that obviously will start with the repeal of Act 10. Hans, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm fine. How are you?
Good here. Good here. Hope you're feeling better. Still got a little trace of a cold up there, but I guess it's that season, right?
You bet. You bet.
So what is happening on the farm these days after Thanksgiving? Just a lot of milking?
Well, we're just trying to, we're still a lot of milking a lot of cows and, eating a lot of turkey sandwiches. We're in the home stretch.
That's right. You know, I don't know if I asked, and I've mentioned many times growing up, not growing up with, but marrying into a dairy farm family, and that where they live in Manitowoc County, especially in the wintertime, Sunday afternoons when there's not a Packer game on or, before or after the game, there's literally hours of sheep's head being played around the table when family comes to gather. I don't know if I've ever asked at the Breitenmoser residence if there's something similar, whether it's sheep's head or euchre or some other pastime that the family likes to do on these winter afternoons.
Well, I don't know. There's the kids are getting scattered hither and yon here. My oldest is off at college, and the ones that are at home are always doing different things, and my wife is always out doing her thing. So it's difficult to get everybody in the same place at the same time, unfortunately.
And suppose when they were all there, they were a little, younger. So it wasn't like you were playing cards all afternoon or anything like that.
Well, there were those afternoons, certainly. When it's cold outside, that's a really good thing to do.
Yeah. But, we're in, it's funny, in baseball, it's called the Hot Stove League, where folks in the olden days would sit around a hot pot-bellied stove and they'd talk about the off season and who should be traded and everything like that. It's a little different now. It's not the hot stove season. It's the conference season. as y'all get set to gather around a pot-bellied stove at the Chula Vista Resort and,
yes.
and have the Wisconsin Farmers Union get together. And I would imagine, I mean, I'm sure that's busy all the time, but now being in between presidential administrations and the uncertainty that's out there, there's going to be a lot to talk about. Nobody's going to be bored speculating on which way things are going to go in D.C.
Oh, man, for sure, for sure. I think this is one of those. I mean, I think you get that with any change of administration. But given the once again, this seismic shift and President Trump's or President-elect Trump's, notoriety for choosing unusual folks to be in his cabinet and just his, you know, sort of overarching, you know, need to have people who are absolutely loyal to him and not necessarily loyal to the cause that they're supposed to be pursuing. I think that gives a lot of uncertainty in ag and a lot of sectors.
There was, of course, speculation, and we engaged in it as well, over who might the next agriculture secretary be. And then he picked somebody, and the unanimous reaction was, who? Because he named Brooke Rollins. She's a Texas native, founder and CEO of the America First Policy Institute, an organization that Trump has championed the Trump agenda. And so despite a lack of, well, really any kind of a record on where she stands on agriculture policy, she's about to take over a department with more than 100,000 people, a budget of $213 billion, and some 3,000 county offices for a USDA that, according to writing in the Progressive Farmer News site, is responsible for the country's main nutrition support programs like SNAP, school lunches, farm programs, rural economic development. And Hans, it's got to be really weird to have an incoming ag secretary who is just a big old question mark.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I served on our local farm service agency board for 3 terms, which was 9 years total. And I was thinking about that the other day, how those people sitting around those county committee tables are scratching their head, wondering too, what's going to happen. And also the staff, because a lot of times people forget when you talk about big federal programs, they're administered locally, right? So USDA has staff here in central Wisconsin and in your area as well, staff that are the boots on the ground. And then the oversight is provided by farmers who are elected to that board, to that county committee is what it's called. Now, years ago, every county had a county committee when we had way more farmers. Now, of course, there's a lot of consolidation regionally and so forth. But we were, I remember in those days when I was on that, it was sometimes we'd, worry a little bit about what was coming out of Washington and if they were hearing us and so forth. So I think that's giving a little anxiety to staff and to the local elected officials because it's such an unknown.
It is true, and there are folks there that have already started, sending out the resumes and putting out feelers to try to, find a new place before any kind of an axe might fall in the department. And so you do wonder how much institutional memory is going to be lost as a result, but all we can do is watch how it unfolds from here. So let me turn our attention back to the big story here of Act 10 being overturned by a judge. And again, this will continue to go through an appeals process, but given where things stand at the moment with it being ruled unconstitutional, as a former county board member, I think it's important to draw this distinction between politicians at the legislative level and elected officials at the local level who are closer to those public employees, those snowplow drivers, those teachers and all of that. Those were directly your neighbors, maybe family members as well. And I've always thought that people who were actually closer to local government, county boards and school boards and things, probably did not share the same enthusiasm for Act 10 as a handful of Republican legislators. What do you think of that?
Oh, I think you're spot on because, I think the Republican legislators or just legislators in general in Madison have that degree of distance from the people who are actually affected by the policies that they come up with. And it's local governments who do deal with the snowplow drivers and so forth. And it's, I think it's that antagonism, right? It's kind of like our previous conversation about staff versus the folks in Washington. If you create this antagonistic relationship where everybody's worried about, are they going to get fired? Are they going to, what's going to happen to their position? It creates this vibe where it basically tells good, decent folks who, work hard on our behalfs that, that we don't care about them, and I mean, you talked about teachers prior to me coming on. I think that's a prime example. At some point, if as an employee, whether you're a firefighter, a teacher, or what have you, if you get the sense that your efforts aren't being appreciated, you know what? You might just pack up and say, I'm going to find something else to do or someplace else to do what I love.
And that was something that from, again, a county standpoint, county boards and county administrators, county administrative coordinators, county executives. Yeah, there were, negotiations that had to be done. There was budgets that had to be worked out. But to say that the entire system, wasn't working was, always sounded a bit extreme and sounded more like an excuse to kill the public sector unions than anything else. Let's take just for example this notion, as we've discussed, of, Act 10 said these people are public safety employees, but these people are not. And that included things like conservation wardens. Now, look, I'm not here to tell you that every conservation warden was perfect and that every landowner loved when a conservation warden, came for a visit. But it gets back to your notion of who do you want doing that? Do you want somebody who's trying to do the job fairly even when you don't agree with them? Or do you essentially want a political toady in that job? Because then, if they rule against you, you got no appeal at that point, except to do whatever the main politician wants you to do. And that's never been what this country is supposed to be about.
No, absolutely. It's not what this country is about. And it shouldn't be what this country is about. And I think we've taken for granted for so long that we live in a country with the rule of law that we've gotten a little spoiled. And now as we see a new administration coming in at the federal level and some of these things at the local level, hopefully we can appreciate that the rule of law, even when you don't necessarily agree with the law 100%, or even if the lawman is not your best friend, that's a system that works and has worked fairly well for us for many, many years. And that's a system that we should cherish. And I think we've kind of taken for granted. And, the other thing with the Act 10 thing, the Republicans have made claims about, how that has saved taxpayers, 16 or whatever billion dollars. I don't know. I find that math a little bit fuzzy because it's a little tough to wrap your head around that. And I think the other thing that you have to remember is the alternative. If those teachers and those firefighters and those, snowplow drivers were paid what they should have been paid or at least had a seat at that table to advocate on their own behalf and that advocacy got them a raise from time to time, where do those dollars go, Pat? Right? Where do they go? They go to our local groceries. They go to our local taverns. They go to our local, everything else. And so the idea that $16 billion was saved is a little ridiculous in my estimation.
Well, yeah, because again, the money doesn't disappear, and instead, it came out of people's pockets more, and that meant less money that they could put in the local economy, and again, it gave the state legislature more free rein to turn more of that money into tax cuts for the very wealthy instead, and so we'll see how this goes through the appeal process now. On the calendar here, getting back to Washington for a moment, is that, we're still way behind on a farm bill. So lawmakers are coming back to Capitol Hill for the lame duck session of Congress, and they're looking at a proposal for maybe $100 billion in disaster relief. They're looking at a farm bill that maybe they need to extend, into September here, and avoid a government shutdown, just, in time at the end of the year here. And the other thing that they're facing is that if they don't come up with the right extension of the farm bill, then you get back to this notion of prices as they were written into law in 1938 and 1949, where you could basically see a doubling of milk prices. So the question, Hans, becomes, can this lame duck Congress come together long enough to at least punt the ball to next year, or will they have such trouble that we're going to be talking about a huge increase in grocery prices?
Well, stay tuned, I guess. I don't know, Pat. Right. I don't have any better crystal ball than you do. But again, when you we reap what we sow, the folks that we elect and allow to sit at these tables matter. Public policy matters. The people who write public policy matters. And so we can hire good people who want to get things done and who know how to get things done, or we can continue to elect folks who should have had this done a long time ago. This shouldn't be that big of a deal. It's a big deal public policy wise. That's why it should have been done. That's why it should have been taken seriously. And that's why we shouldn't be sitting here right now wondering if absolute chaos is going to ensue by dragging up some arcane thing from, you know, a century ago.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just looking through the possibilities here. The date we're looking at is December 20th. December 20th is the deadline to approve a new funding resolution to keep the government operating, or we're going to be facing, you know, the potential of a government shutdown just a couple of days before Christmas. So you're absolutely right. This is all about, you know, staying tuned. But you and I aren't the only ones talking about this. There were 17 governors on Monday wrote to congressional leaders calling on them to pass a new farm bill now, not punt the ball, not wait till 2025. Our farmers can't wait. They serve as the foundation of our state economies, these 17 governors say. And Hans, here's the punchline. Those were 17 Republican governors telling Congress, get your work done, which, as you know, on the farm, the chores got to get done. Hans Breitenmoser, thanks as always. Appreciate it. Good to see you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pat. You too.
When we come back, we'll talk to Chad Holmes and find out what's on his show coming up in Wausau in just a bit here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
If that song by Genesis sounds a little bit older, it's because the host who plays it every morning is a little older as well. Chad Holmes joins us from 98.9 WXCO. Belated happy birthday, Mr. Holmes.
Hey, thanks for the reminder. I'm getting old. I am old.
We're not allowed to ask this of the women on the program. Hey, Chad, how old are you now? What was yesterday?
Oh, let me do the math here. 54.
54. Yeah. Wow. So you have wisdom now.
You're 54, Chad?
I got something. I got a few gray hairs. That's what I got right now.
What is your skincare routine?
I know. It's got that baby face going.
I know.
I think it's doing all the high school sports. It keeps them young. Hanging around them youngins.
I think it does. But, man, I tell you, it goes by so fast. I was talking to somebody yesterday. It's like, you know, it is just amazing how, as we, you know, I mean, again, everybody talks about it, and I know you guys probably feel it as well.
We talk about it a lot on this program, Chad. And the host just turned 60. We talk about it a lot.
But do you ever find yourself trying to, I mean, I literally tried to figure out, there's got to be a way to slow things down, but there's no way.
No, Chad, there's no way. There's
it
no
just
way.
Keeps rolling faster and faster and faster, and it's and I have not figured it out yet. I'm not giving up on that, but I've not figured it out yet.
Well, the thing that I have to laugh at it now, but I was crying about it last week, was I'd said for weeks, if not a couple of months leading up to the election, I said, okay, I have fallen out of my old exercise routine. We're going to get past the election, and I'm going to get a fresh start, kind of like New Year's resolutions. And what happened last week? I threw my back out. So there was no resumption there. Things are finally starting to get better, but I'm like, just my luck, I'm going to, you know, tweak something.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, maybe I better wait an extra day or two. And next thing you know, I mean, like you said, those days, they're gone. You can't get them back.
So every week is that way, though. I mean, we have this cycle, you know, we do our things, and it just rolls. And I mean, and every year rolls. It just, I mean, I shake my head. That's all I do now. I shake my head. You know?
Well, Tony puts on YouTube here, we think your secret is doing all the outdoor sports. That freezing wind keeps the skin smooth. So between the late season football and everything else that you do, you probably are well preserved up there.
So if I just go up to Chad and like tap him on the forehead, will he just break into a billion pieces then? He's just,
well, just that's how he exfoliates. See, you just get that top layer off.
All the way. Secrets will come out of my next book. Yeah. It'll be my first book.
Yep. Any surprise at the judge's ruling yesterday, essentially throwing out Act 10?
To be honest with you, it's amazing that it's 13 years.
Yeah. I mean, again, where's the time gone, right?
Yeah, I mean, but the idea that, as you were talking about earlier, I mean, it's fairly obvious that you can't be splitting different law enforcement agencies like that, and yet you get away with it. And I was thinking kind of a little bit big picture,
yeah,
about how many different laws around the country are probably like that, but depending on who's in control, and also going back to when you talk about Prosser, there's just too much of this politician as judge.
Yeah,
I mean, the system is, I think, is broken in that way. And I don't know if you caught this yesterday, in North Carolina, they elected a Democratic governor, and now much like Wisconsin did.
It is exactly, yep, it's exactly, I mean, what happened.
I thought that as well. It's like,
I completely forgot to bring that up, that the North Carolina Republican legislature yesterday had their own lame duck taking away powers from the governor, just like the Wisconsin Republican legislators did in the weeks after Tony Evers won in 2018. So here we are 6 years later, North Carolina now doing the exact same thing. And again, there's no other word for it. It's corrupt. That's corruption, and that's what they're engaged in. But, you know, we have a media that is too feckless to say anything, Mr. Bach.
I'd also call it cowardice. I call it cowardice. Sure. Because they're the ones who do this every time. Every time this happens, whether it's a mayor, a governor, a city minister, I've seen it happen in all levels of government where they get together, they go, what do we do? Let's take away their power. Okay, great, awesome. This will end well for you.
And right. Also, we always hear about the will of the voters. How many times do it's like Lucy in the football. How many times do we have to see them pull the football away to realize they don't give a darn about the will of the voters unless they win? Mm-hmm. Whether it's talking about voter fraud and whether it's about losing elections where, hey, you have to deal now with a Democratic governor. No, we don't have to do that. We're just going to take away all of his powers. Right. There is something so inherently wrong about
and
that.
And they're going, they're like, really, no, we don't. Mm-mm, no.
No, no,
it's,
right.
It's childish. It's childish.
We're expected to respect the vote last month, but yet right. they're never expected to
respect, because look at how many Evers appointments still have not been ratified by the Republican-controlled Wisconsin State Senate. So one of the most basic functions out there that they refuse to do. And it's just, again, a reminder for all those folks like me that when I'm feeling optimistic and I say, well, the wheels of justice turn, they just sometimes turn very slowly, it is possible for them to turn too slowly. Back in 2011, when we were pointing out, you know, I had just lost my seat in the legislature, and we were pointing out the things that were wrong with the way this bill was written, and it wasn't gaining any traction. And the next year, when they gerrymandered the districts, we again were saying, this is gerrymandering. But it took years and years for other media outlets to finally call it what it was, gerrymandering. And it's only now are they going to look at Act 10 and say, oh, yeah, that unfairly split up workers. And these wheels of justice, these wheels of correct messaging by the media take way too long. And we've got to do a better job at that.
The so-called liberal media.
Liberal media. Yeah. That is exactly it. Chad Holmes, you can hear him on 98.9 WXEO coming up next. And if you're not in the Wausau area, listen through the Civic Media app. Thank you, Chad. Belated happy birthday. Have a great day.
Happy belated birthday, buddy.
All right. Greg Bach is back in 2 hours, right? Is Jane back too?
Jane's back. We're back, baby. Right.
Everybody's back. Good deal. So tune into that at 10 o'clock as well. And thank you for joining us for Up North News, which is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.